Well, somehow I'm supposed to teach tonight. I feel like I'd rather just kind of crumple onto the floor. The anointing is so strong. But I do have a question for you that may seem incongruous with the heavy anointing. Are we having fun yet? Isn't it fun being in the presence of the Lord? In His presence is fullness of joy. And we just get to bask in His presence. And it's so wonderful. He's a very interactive God. He doesn't want us just praying, talking at Him. He wants to have conversation with us. He wants to talk with us. And He doesn't want us to do all the talking. He wants Himself to talk some and for us to listen, because He's got lots of good things to say. Well, we have an interesting time tonight, an interactive teaching this is. That means you get to participate. Isn't that fun? But that's what it is with God. He wants us to participate. He wants us to be part of the process. And we're actually beginning a series tonight, and the series is not going to be on any regular predicted schedule, but it's whenever the Lord says to do the next one. It's all about faith, and the general concept is faith scenarios. What this means is we get to study a particular situation, and then we have some choices to make. Which one would we do? You know, there's a story that goes around, and I'm sure most of us have probably heard it, that Kenneth Hagin Sr., Papa Hagin, as he was fondly known by his students at Rhema Bible College, would teach on Mark 11:24, and he'd teach on Mark 11:24, and he'd teach on Mark 11:24. And then he teach on it some more. And the students finally looked at him and said, Papa Hagin, when are you going to teach something else? All you teach on is Mark 11:24. Can we go on? When can we go on? And you know what his answer was? When you get it. So guess what? He observed. They hadn't gotten it yet. So what do you think he meant by when you get it? It's when you get the concept of faith, when you understand what faith is, to where it becomes so real to you that what you begin to do is you begin to think faith, speak faith, act faith, live faith, breathe faith, where it's so real to you, it's just automatic. The world says that you do the same thing for 21 days in a row and it establishes a habit. Well, what we want to do is get so used to faith that it's automatic. It's that core value. Pastor Matthew teaches in our schools about the core value system that we have, that the majority of it is instilled in us when we're 6 years old. By the time we're 18, 85% of all that we learn is already inside us. And the decisions that we make and the actions that we take are based on what we've been taught those first 18 years of our lives. And especially the first six, they're very formative years. We think about Moses and how his mom put so much into him in what we figure was about 3 years. And look at the man he became because of what had been put into him. His little spirit absorbed it. And when it came time as a grown man to make some hard decisions, he remembered what he had been taught and he put it into action. And so these are some of the things we want to think about. With each scenario, what we do, I will give you time to read it and read through the different choices, and I want you to mark down two different things. Number one is what you think the right faith answer is. But number two, and this is totally between you and God, this is kind of a quiz, but this is not one we are collecting, okay? You get scored on it between you and God, okay? So you want to be honest because he knows you and he knows your heart, right? So what you want to answer, the secondary answer is, what would I do right now, today, if I were in this situation? And be honest, because this is part of growth. We can't move forward until we know where we are. You know, if you want to go from here to cross the country somewhere out a different direction, you know, you want to go that way, but you're faced this way. You're not going to get that way very fast, right? So we have to know where we are and where we're going. And I'd like to believe that this is going to help, because this is a ministry that gets down to nitty-gritty, rubber meets the road. And if we look at specific examples, and the examples of scenarios that we will look at are real life situations. They happen to somebody that we know. Okay? So you can take out the sheet that you picked up there. Does everybody have a handout? Does everybody have a pen or pencil? Anybody need one? Everybody okay? All righty. Great. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes. So the first one is called Just Walking in the Rain. Okay? We try to put some little catchy titles to these so that we're focused on what it's all about. Okay, so read it and mark your two answers. Remember, the first one is what you think the best faith answer is, and the second one is what you would do. And you can have your own way of marking it so that you know which is which. So those of you on the internet, I believe, Deborah, they have a copy, so you have a copy of this too, so have at it. Sorry we won't be able to get your feedback on this, but hopefully what we do here will make an impact on you. Everybody studiously looking at your paper when you are finished with reading and making your two choices. If you would look up at me, then I'll know that you're done. Get an idea of who still needs a little more time. How cool the Holy Spirit is. My husband got in the spirit that there should be two answers. When we've done this in the past, we've done just one. And he kept thinking there should be two. I need to tell Sarah there need to be two. And we've been like this all day, and he never got a chance to say anything. And then I come up, I open my mouth and say, there shall be two. Isn't that just like God? Praise God. Okay. Anybody still need more time? If you do, raise your hand. Okay. Looks like we're all together now. Okay. Let's read through it. I want to go through this step by step. We'll read the scenario, and then I'm going to read each of the six answers, and we want to talk about it. With each answer, remember the one between you and God is totally personal and private. However, the one what you think is the best faith answer is what we're going to talk about with each answer, because sometimes things are black and white, and sometimes they have a lot of gray in them. And maybe part of the answer is really good, but maybe part of the answer is not so good. And so we want to talk about it and figure it out. And this is where the interactive is not just you writing this down, but as I ask questions, please feel free to answer. And then what I will do is repeat your answer so that it gets on the recording. Just walking in the rain, the weather forecast for Monday called for heavy rains all over the city. Jim had lost his umbrella, and when he heard the forecast on Sunday night, He immediately thought of the long walk from his assigned parking space at work to the office building. He had a meeting with his supervisor's boss and wanted to look his very best for the meeting. Being rain-draggled was not in the picture by a long shot. So he decided to pray. And this is what he prayed. Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that on Monday morning there will be no rain so that I will not get wet as I walk from my car to the office. However, we're now up to Monday morning. As he pulled into his parking spot on Monday morning, rain like a torrential downpour was still pounding the car. What should Jim say or do? Okay, A, I guess that my prayer did not work. What do we have to say about this one? Faith or no faith?
No faith.
No faith. Okay, this is like, uh-oh, the words of his mouth just canceled out his prayer. So as soon as he said it didn't work, guess what? It didn't work, and it wasn't going to work, and it wasn't going to change back to working as long as he was believing that it didn't work. What was he doing? He wasn't walking by faith. He was walking by sight. He saw the rain, and he reacted to what he saw rather than reacting to what he prayed. Okay, let's take a look at B. Command the rain to stop falling. Faith or no faith? You're not quite sure on this one. This one isn't quite so clear. Commanding is good, but how does this relate to the prayer that he already prayed? Mm-hmm. If he believed when he asked, let's go back, Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, what does that sound like? A prayer of faith. And what do we do with the prayer of faith? We ask one time, and what do? We believe that we have already received the answer to our prayer. So if we believe that we've received the answer to our prayer already, why are we commanding the rain to stop falling? Does that make sense? You know, sometimes we think, oh, commanding the rain to stop falling. Yeah, that's a great thing. That's dominion. That's authority. We want to jump right in. And yeah, we want to do that. But we got to pay attention to how we pray and how we follow up what we pray with our words and with our actions, so we don't cancel out what we prayed. And then we command the rain to stop falling, and the rain doesn't stop falling. And it's like, what is going on here? How come, rain, what are you doing? Go away. Wasn't working. Okay, C, decide that it must be God's will. And he goes out to buy a new umbrella. Faith or no faith?
No faith.
No faith. Why?
Same as A.
Same as A. He canceled his prayer by his thoughts and then his actions. And I wouldn't be surprised, but what he muttered something under his breath, so he probably canceled it with his words too. Well, I don't know, it's still raining. Guess it must not be God's will. Don't you picture that's kind of what happened there? Well, if I'm going to get there dry, I better go out and get me a new umbrella. Okay. Okay, number D. Thank the Lord that no rain will fall on him and step out of the car. Faith or no faith?
Faith.
Faith. Is this absolute faith? Is this trust in God? Is this believing that the prayer he prayed was working? And that he had what he believed? Didn't look like it, though, did it? The rain was coming down hard. And he was there in his parking place. And he had prayed that he would be dry from the car to his office building. So there he is. He's got a decision to make. And that decision is, okay, what do we do when we pray the prayer of faith? What is one of the last things we do? We thank the Lord with affirmations, right? We're firm. What are we affirming? Thank you, Lord, that no rain will fall on me. That's what he prayed for. That's what he asked for. And he's been saying, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. No rain's falling on me. No rain's falling on me. I'm not moved by what I see and not moved by what I hear as the rain's pattering on the car. I'm not moved by that because that's by sight. That's my five senses. But I believe in God and I believe his word is true. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take that step of faith. If I really believe in my heart and I've really said with my mouth, then I got to put my body into action and I got to do something that proves that I really believe it. Because if I just wait in the car, I'm playing it safe. I'm not walking by faith. But look how much faith it takes to open that car door and get out and expect that no rain's going to fall on him. You know what he could have pictured? He could have pictured that he stepped out of the car and suddenly, God's good with his suddenlies, the rain stopped falling. Or another possibility would be he stepped out of the car and it's raining all around him, but it's not raining on him. And as he takes steps closer and closer to the office building, it's still dry over him because God has provided his supernatural umbrella of faith over him. That cool? And that's two ways we can think of. I'm sure God can come up with something else. Whatever way that he stays dry. He believes it. He receives it. He acts on it. Our faith action plan, we must put it into action. We must show God that we really believe him, we really trust him, and we really mean business in this walk of faith. Okay, well, we've decided that was a really cool one. What about E? Would this have any possibilities? Remind the Lord of his prayer and pray in tongues until it stops. Faith or no faith? Why is this no faith? Because he's already prayed. He's already believed that he received. And if he has it, why would he have to do this? We're praying another kind of prayer now. Are we canceling our prayer of faith with this action? Oh God, remember that prayer I prayed? Come on, God. Come on. Come on. Hurry up. You know I have an appointment with the boss and I'm supposed to be there in 5 minutes. Come on, Lord. Let's hurry up and stop this rain. No faith. Okay. F. Affirm. Affirm is good. We said, right? Titus 3:8 says, affirm the word of God constantly. So here he is, affirming until it stops raining. In the name of Jesus, it is not raining. Is this faith or no faith? The particular application of it at this time? Let's look at what's wrong with this. He already has the action. He already has the action. He already has the answer to his prayer. And putting action to it is not affirming the word of God. The time for affirming the word of God is basically over. I mean, he can continue to say, thank you, Jesus, I believe that I have received the answer to my prayer as he opens the door and goes out into the rain. So he can continue to affirm the word of God in thanksgiving unto God that he has received. But that's not what it says here. He's affirming until it stops raining before he steps out of the car. And that's backwards. That's not what faith is all about. Now, What is there about the statement, in the name of Jesus, it is not raining? What is there about that statement?
That's
Say
lying.
It.
It's lying because it is raining outside. It's like saying, I have a broken arm. I have a broken arm.
Okay. The word has been said is lying. I bring to your remembrance Romans 4:17. Calling those things that be not as though they are. Here, what he's doing is saying what is as if it is not. He's taking the essence of the Word of God and he's flip-flopping it and twisting it and making it something God didn't say. He's in denial by making this statement. In a sense, it's lying, but it wasn't his intention to lie. It's just, he's just trying to make it happen the way he wants it to happen. And that's not happening that way because that isn't what he prayed and that isn't the test. The test. Here's a good one. The test. We have a lab test. We have a lab assistant who's very good at giving tests. You know who that lab assistant is? Satan. We can teach and teach and teach, and you can listen and listen and listen. But guess what? Satan's like, do you really believe that? Oh, come on. Isn't that kind of goofy? Isn't that contrary to your nature? I mean, why would you call things that be not as though they were? Basically, what you want to do is switch it. And the example was given, which we have taught, about the broken arm. This person's got their arm in a sling, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, you've got a broken arm. Oh, no, my arm isn't broken. That isn't what the Word of God says. What you want to do is affirm the Word of God over the situation, calling those things that be not, which is God's word and God's truth, and you call those things that be not as though they were until they are. And they become that when you act on it. Then God is able to back you up on it and to stand firm in that. Does that help? You understand? So we come back to D as the true faith answer. This is the best thing he could do in answer to the prayer he prayed. And God would find a way, as I mentioned two ways. There might be some other ways, but you know what? I don't think Jim would really care. As long as he stayed dry, he wouldn't care whether God put a spiritual umbrella over him, whether he opened the windows and so the sunshine poured through just on him while it was raining on either side of him, whether God just suddenly stopped everything. He didn't care. That wasn't part of his prayer. Let me finish this thought. The thing that he wants is when you pray, particularly the prayer of faith, what you want to do is pray the end result, what you desire. Do not tell God when to do it, and do not tell God how to do it. God knows a lot more than we do. And he's got the perfect solution, and he has the perfect timing. You know, there are certain situations where you may say, well, I have this particular timeline. I've got to get it done by this time. And God says, don't be concerned about that. I'll take care of it. Pastor Joshua told the story, another true story. We don't make up stuff around here. It's amazing enough without having to be in Ripley's Believe It or Not. These are true stories. These are people who've lived these things. He knew this woman that had started her own office. It was an accounting office, legal office, something like that. Counseling office. She had just started it. She had rented her space. She was so excited. She had her very own business, her very own place. But of course, now the rent is due. But she's just barely starting the business, so she doesn't have a lot of money yet. But the rent's due, so she's going to find a way. So the landlord didn't come to her, so she goes to him, and he says, don't bother me right now. It's okay. It's okay. We'll come to that. And a few days went by, and he hadn't said anything. So again, she went to him, and he says, really, lady, we're okay. Don't bother me. And the third time, he's like, lady, please, just drop the subject, will you? When I want the rent, I'll let you know. Okay. So she went on with her business. And a month went by, and 2 months went by, and 3, 4, 5, and a year. And 18 months later, the landlord called and said, okay, rent's due. Well, you know that she knew that she would have to pay for all 18 months as each month went by. But her business continued to grow and grow, and she set money aside for it. So by the time of the 18 months, her business is thriving. She's making lots of money. She's got the money set aside for the 18 months of rent. So when the landlord said, it's time, she was prepared. She was ready, and she was excited. Wow, finally get to pay my rent. But what happened? 18 months. That's a long time. And here she thought she had 30 days for when the rent was due. 30 days translated into 18 months because God was in control in that situation because she had trusted him. And guess what? You know how file cabinets are? And they're up against the wall, and this file, her file had been on the top, and somehow that file folder just went down the back of the file cabinet, between the wall and the file cabinet. And nobody saw it fall. Nobody knew it was there. And so there it stayed until they moved their office 18 months later. And when they did, lo and behold, oh, hey, there's a file back here. Oh, this is so-and-so. Okay, she owes 18 months rent now. God's not moved by timelines. He can handle things like that, no problem. Okay, now we have a second handout. Oh, okay, you still want to say? No, okay.
Talk some more about the difference between caught in things that be not caught in things that be as though they're not.
Okay.
Give an example with it. What should they have said with the book?
Oh, okay, very good. Pastor Joshua is asking me to elaborate a little more on Romans 4:17, calling those things that be not as though they are. Because God never says call those things that be as though they're not. The things that be not are the truth of God's word. That's what we're calling. The things that are our natural situations and circumstances. What's going on in the physical realm. Let's go back to the example of the broken arm. In the natural, that lady's arm was broken. That's why she had a sling on it. My goodness, we don't go around with slings on our arms for no reason, right? I've never known anyone to do that. So she had the sling on there for a reason, because the arm was, in fact, broken. For her to say, my arm is not broken, would be contrary to God's word. What we want to say when we pray and when we speak is God's word. We want to say what God's word says about us. That is the ultimate truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, the life, the truth, and the way. He is the truth. His word is truth. That is what we want to speak over our situation. So what should the lady who had the broken arm say? Definitely not, my arm isn't broken. That's denial. That's contrary to the word of God. That's misleading to people. What she could say is, I believe that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. For those of you who were here at the 6 o'clock service, you heard Pastor Michael talk about the story of healing. Healing is throughout the Bible. Old covenant and new covenant. It was always God's will for his people to be healed, to be whole, to function in perfect wellness in all of their being, in their bodies, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. So we want to walk in that. So we take the truth of the Word of God, and that's what we're speaking. And the truth of the Word of God is going to change the situation or the circumstance of the broken arm into healing. What she should confess is what the Word of God has to say about her. Not reiterate what the circumstance is. We all know what the circumstances are. We don't need to reinforce those, because the more we talk about the circumstances, the more we're reinforcing the circumstances, the more we're giving room for the devil to keep doing what he's been doing that we don't want him doing anymore. So the way we change it, God's way, is to speak God's word over the situation. So right now, for her to say, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, it is a spiritual truth. It is a price that has been paid by Jesus Christ, by the 39 stripes that he took upon his body. We have been healed from every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain, and that includes broken bones. He paid for it all. There's nothing that comes against our bodies, nothing that creates an infirmity, a weakness, lack of any kind in our bodies comes from the enemy. So we speak God's word over what we are and who we are. And the more we speak God's word over it instead of the circumstances, after a while, you know, we talk about magnifying God. This is how we magnify God. We don't talk about this arm that's broken. We talk about God and who he is and what he's done for us. That we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My arm has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed, my arm's been healed, my back's been healed. No matter what physical challenges they are, they've been paid for, and we want to focus on the Word of God, speaking it over and over again, but then we also act on it to the best of our ability to act on it. Like Jim opening the door and stepping out into the torrential downpour. That was a big step of faith, right? Because what did he risk? If his faith wasn't there, if he had done something wrong, if his faith wasn't strong enough, people will say, oh, I guess my faith's not strong enough. But you know what? It's a learning process. This might have been the very first time that Jim ever put his faith into practice. He might have said, well, you know, I want to do it God's way, and the only way that I can really do this, if I believe that I've received, then I got to act on it. And so he steps out of the car. Now, what if he gets wet? This may be his first time doing it. And the devil's there to say, nya, 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 nya. You got wet. What about God? What about your prayer? Where's God for you now? You're in the rain and you're getting wet. And what's Jim going to say? I believe that I've received the answer to my prayer, and in the name of Jesus, I'm dry as I walk to the office. And so he continues to take steps, and he continues to walk. And yeah, there's another raindrop, and there's another raindrop. But as he persists, then he's pushing against the wall that the devil's put up against him. And the devil's testing him and saying, you don't really believe it, do you? Oh my gosh, get back in the car before you get any wetter. That's what the devil's telling us. And he's saying, no, I believe God's word. I believe God's word, and I'm going to continue to act on God's word. And I'm going to, and he takes those steps. Every step he takes in the rain is a step of faith. A step of faith. You understand that we walk this life out. Faith isn't just a boom, here it is, and we got the package and we're all set to go for the rest of our lives. It does not work that way. Work the Word of God, and the Word of God will work for you. And it takes one step at a time. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Remember when we were all kids and we did the Mother May I thing? Mother, may I take a baby step? Yes. Okay. Take a baby step. Mother, may I take a giant step? Yes, you may. Okay. So you take the giant step. But how many steps did you just take? One. Whether it's a baby step or a giant step, it's one step at a time. And that's how we progress in our faith walk with God. We walk. We take the step. We do something. And we do it according to the Word of God. Is there anything else? No. Okay. Praise God. Okay, the second handout may now be passed out to everybody. Are we having fun yet? Are we having, I have one, thank you. Are we being challenged to think some things through? To think about what faith really is. You know, and I guess I'll do a little plug for myself. A week from Sunday, I'm going to be teaching, and the name of the lesson will be The Essence of Faith. I think it's going to be really good. God's given me the basics of it, and it's going to be very exciting. Because we have to know faith. We have to know faith. We have to live it. Especially for us in these last of the last days. More than ever. We got to do what Papa Hagen said. We got to get it. We got to get it. Okay, this is called Faith Scenarios, Impact of Your Choices. So let's look at the upside, which is the pros, or the downside, which is the cons. Upside first, if we pray a prayer of faith and we walk according to faith, what do we get? Ah, the answer to our prayer. We get a testimony out of it. Well, you know, you can just hear Jim now. I stepped out of that car and it was raining cats and dogs, and I was going to do it God's way no matter what. And I took that step of faith, and I took another step, and it just stopped raining. Whichever way it stopped, whether it all stopped or it stopped above him, even a more miraculous thing, I guess, if it just stopped over him and it was raining on either side of him. Imagine that testimony. Whoa, pretty exciting, huh? And what in the process? He drew closer to Jesus because he believed the Word of God. And he said, Jesus, this really works. This is good stuff, Lord. I'm excited. And guess what? He passed the lab test. Right? That test that Satan put out for him. Do you really believe your prayer? Oh, really? Did you expect it to be sunshiny and dry for you? You think God would do that for you? Jim said, oh, yes, I do. So he passed the test. And he grew from level to level. With every step he took, he got up another level. He got stronger in God. And he was just, he's getting more excited by the step. And no, not only from level to level, but from glory to glory. And through the whole process, it strengthened his faith. Because he said it, he believed it, he did it, and it worked. Wow, I think I want to do that again. And that encourages us, and it builds us up, and it prepares us to take another step of faith with another decision, with something else going on in our lives. Now, the downside, the cons, if you will, of making decisions by faith, one is there's a risk of failure. What if the rain hadn't stopped? What if it continued on and got him soaked and he was that rain bedraggled by the time he got to the office? What if he had been? There's a price to pay. The price to pay is a willingness to put God's word to the test, a willingness to face up to the devil, face to face, and say, devil, I believe God's word. You can't have me. The word of God says the devil's going around seeking whom he may devour. And we're going to choose not to give him permission, because may means he needs permission. And we choose not to give him any permission. Well, downside is walking by sight. Those other choices that Jim faced were walking by sight. Oh, it's raining. Oh, well, guess I didn't get my prayer answered. All of those walking by sight, because he's making his decision based on what he's seeing and what he's hearing with the rat-a-tat of the rain, not on the word of God and not on what he prayed. There's a distinct difference here. Walking by sight is also known as walking by the five senses, which is the devil's playground, because he can twist things and turn things around and try to get you hooked. Okay, here's another thing that sometimes, a lot of times, we Christians do. We plan for plan B. Well, you know what? Maybe I really should bring my umbrella with me in the car, just in case. Just in case my prayer didn't work. Just in case it's actually raining when I want to get out of my car. Plan B. And what did plan B, bringing your umbrella, do? Nixed your prayer of faith. Totally canceled it out. There's no hope for that prayer. And preparing for plan B and all these other things of walking by sight and five senses and so forth, motivated by fear. Fear. Faith, fear. The pros are all about faith. The cons are all about fear. When you think about it like that, you look through, and quite honestly, acting on fear strengthens your fear as much as acting on faith strengthens your faith. Okay, now the benefits of the journey, the process, versus the benefits of the destination or the manifestation. So let's look at the Let's do this backwards. The benefits of the destination or the manifestation, for instance, of the broken arm, good look at. We have a benefit. You receive the confirmation to the answer to your prayer, which is always a physical, natural blessing. Physical, natural blessing. Okay? Notice how many benefits there are under focusing on the destination. Uno. One. That's it. Or in French, un. Okay, benefits of the journey, the process. It's more important than the destination. Not minimizing the destination, it's part of the process, but it's only the ending of the process. You've got all the way from here to here before you get to the destination. Oh, here's the biggie. If you pass the lab test, you get to move on. But what if you don't pass the lab test? You must take it again and again and again. As many times as you fail the lab test, you're stuck in that place. You can't grow in your faith past that point until you get past that point. We've all got to learn to do it by faith. We've got to learn what faith is all about and how we put it into practice. So that means that once we face up to it, once Jim stepped out of the car and kept thanking the Lord that there was no rain falling on him, he was passing the lab test. Any of those other choices, he'd have had it again. Might have been a different situation. In all likelihood, it would have been. But it would have been the same result. Satan was giving him all kinds of physical stuff to look at to try to fill him with fear that he didn't want to take that risk, that he didn't want to do what it would take to walk by faith. So if you have to take the lab test again and again, this just delays the process of this delays the process of obtaining the manifestation by faith. An example might be for the person with the broken arm, for example, not having to use painkillers. That would be a big step of faith. If there's pain from the process, you believe you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, you say you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then we act on it. Maybe the only way the person with the broken arm can act is not to take painkillers, but to continue to affirm the word of God. Could take communion. There are lots of things that we teach here, that this isn't a lesson on healing, it's a lesson on faith. The journey strengthens your spirituality. It gets you stronger. Step by step, strengthens your faith to where Jim walking to the office, where he might have started out with those few drops coming down, and then it's like, gets to the office and it's like, whee! I'm dry! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! That extra little few drops in the beginning, okay, just fluff up my hair. Okay, I'm good to go. And he rejoices and he praises God and he's excited. So God gives choices and options. You know, his choices, his options are really very clear, very black and white. In Deuteronomy 30, he gives us an open book test. He says, choose life or choose death. Choose blessings or choose cursing. And then he goes on to say, choose life. You know, like, hint, hint. Come on, guys. Wake up. Life. Blessings. That's what you want. You don't want the other stuff. Here, I'm telling you. I'm giving you the choice. You've seen it before you. It's black and white. It's this and it's that. He says, I want you to choose this. In the process of choosing this, you're not choosing that. So God in his word makes it clear. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He doesn't say it's difficult. He doesn't say you got to work at it. He said it's impossible. It is not possible to please God unless we have faith. And James says that faith without works is dead. So if you have faith, but you're not acting on it, that's not much better, huh? We got to have it. We got to act on it. So the journey is more important than the destination. The answer to the prayer, the manifestation, is not as important as the spiritual benefits and strengths gained during the journey of faith, attaining the manifestation. And the Lord taught me something very special the other night. Sometimes when you're in prayer or when you're ministering and you're speaking by the Spirit of God and you'll say something and you hear what you just said and you think, that's really good. I didn't know that before. And you think, how can that be? You just spoke it out. But you're speaking by the Spirit of God who's speaking through you. And it bypasses the mind. But the mind is on the reception end because God wants to teach us things. And so you go, oh, wow, that's really good. Well, what he taught me this time was so simple. Faith is walking out the natural, physical, process the natural physical life that we live through the eye of faith. So everything we do, naturally, we need to look at it through God's eyes, and then we'll know what the faith action plan is. You know, Jerry Savelle talks about his daughters with Love and Pride, and when they were young, one of them said something that was really sounded strange at first. They were on their way home from a meeting, and she was sitting in the back seat and says, "You know, Daddy, we have three eyes." And he's thinking about that, and he goes, "Oh, well, how do I respond to that? Strange-looking creature with three eyes." So he said, "Well, what do you mean, honey?" And she said, "Well, you know, Daddy, we got our two natural eyes, and then we got the eye of faith." And he listened to that, and he goes, "Aha, that will preach." Out of the mouths of babes, right? Three eyes, these two and our eye of faith. And the one that's most important is our eye of faith. Okay, we can pass out the third handout. Oh, whoops. One moment. Living physically through spiritual eyes. That's the key. Living physically through spiritual eyes. So make a note of that and pray about it and let God reveal the understanding to you on that. Okay. And we have another scenario. This one is called "To Go or Not to Go? That is the question." Some of you may recognize that from Shakespeare. To be or not to be? That is the question. So we're doing a slight adaptation here. Okay, so read it, mark your answers. And everybody look up at me when you are finished and ready to talk about it. Okay, then. I think we're ready. Okay, let's read through it. To go or not to go, that is the question. John had been invited to church by his good friend Bill. John went and loved it so much that he committed before God to attend that church every week, and he was true to his word, becoming a regular attendee. However, a few months later, his unsaved or barely saved family planned to have a birthday party for him on the same day and at the same time as the church service, even though they knew about his church attendance. And guess what? It wasn't even the day of his birthday, but the family felt it was a good day when all of the family could easily come together to celebrate. Well, all of the other family beside John. So what should John do? Okay. A, attend the family gathering for his birthday celebration because he felt that it would not be a good example of Christian love not to attend. Faith or no faith? No faith. I'm seeing heads shaking around the room. Not a good one. Why? Okay, he's breaking his word and his commitment to God. Okay. Now, you get a feeling here that he really loves his family. He wants to have an example of Christian love. That is on his mind. But right now, God is more important. His commitment to God is a priority. And so, that would not be a good choice. Number B, show appreciation to his family by attending the party, knowing that he could attend church the next week. Faith or no faith?
No faith.
Nope. It's the same basic concept as A. He wants to show appreciation to his family. He knows they love him. They want to honor him. And he does appreciate that. But they should know better. He had talked about going to church, so they knew. Okay, C. John tells his family that he has another commitment, but because he loves them, he would skip church to attend the party. I'm seeing a bunch of heads doing this again. No way. Nope. Not the right choice. Not a choice of faith. D. John tells his family that he has another commitment and attends church as usual. Faith or no faith? Is this a choice he could make? Is this a choice he should make? I see heads nodding. What are we nodding on? What are we thinking? Somebody say something. Well, we're on D right now. Your third choice, son. John tells his family that he has another commitment and attends church as usual. What's good about this one? He keeps his commitment. He goes to church. What's bad about this one? His family feels rejected. Okay. So that's probably not the best choice. Okay, let's look at E. John asked his family to reschedule the birthday party for another day and reminded them that he had a standing commitment on that day and at that time, so he goes to church as planned. What about this one? I'm getting nods. This is a good one. This is one where faith is involved, right? Okay, he's keeping his standing commitment with God. He's being considerate of his family, asking them to reschedule. He's letting them know he loves them. He appreciates what they're doing for him. But this time ain't going to work, guys. You know I have this commitment, and I'm going to continue to make God my priority. And in the process, he's setting an example to his family, because what's going to happen if we go back to, let's say, D. Tells his family he has another commitment, just goes ahead and attends church as usual. Is that a loving example to them? No. Is that taking them into consideration? No. But E lets them know that he wants to do the party, just not on this day and not at this time. Can we reschedule? I love you. I want to be blessed by you. And I want to recognize and appreciate you for your love to me. But you know what? God's still number one. And it's an example to them because he's showing them. He's not just saying church is important to me. He's not just saying God is important to me. Because what are they going to think? If he shuns God and goes to the party, they're going to think they're more important than God. Mm-hmm. And they can schedule parties, family get-togethers, whatever, on that same day of the week and that same time, whenever they want to, because John's going to honor them and forget about God. You know, I think a lot of times we forget that church isn't just coming to church. It's a commitment to God. It's an appointment with God. We're coming to visit him, to fellowship with him, to learn more about him. That church is important. God tells us in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, this even once a week. What about the rest of the week? You know, if you're going to have it once a week and you miss that one time, bad for you, bad for an example to your family and friends. Okay, let's take a look at F. John says to his family, I appreciate all the planning for my party, but the best birthday present for me would be for you to come to church with me. Hey, wouldn't that be wonderful? But guess what? They declined. So he went to church by himself. So what about F? What is F? He goes to church. He puts God number one. That part's good, right? Okay. But here we have the question of the testimony. We have the question of the example. Is he walking in love toward them? Or is he putting pressure on them? He's giving them an ultimatum. You go to church with me or else. I'm not going to the party. You need to come with me. And he's being very... And tell me how many family members are going to get turned on to God with somebody trying to haul them in. It's not going to work.
I think it was considerate, though, the way he put it.
Okay, yeah.
It was, people, no matter how you say it, when they stop and think about it and they chose not to go, then they're going to think that he rejected what they had in favor of.
Mm-hmm.
God, which is right, but it,
yeah. Yeah, the way he said it was very kind and sweet and considerate toward them. But again, we got to look at the whole picture. And the fact of the example that he's setting to them. Putting God number one in our lives is the most important thing. But the way we do it, the way we react to our friends and family, the way we handle these situations determines ultimately, are they going to draw closer to God? And for him to make it like, chop, chop, not so good.
I was feeling when I read that, that when he said the best birthday present for me would be for you to come to church with me, he was being selfish. And like you said, he was pressuring the family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And his best gift would be Jesus Christ and going to church. That should have been his best gift. That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to. She felt that it was being being a little too harsh on them. It was being selfish of him to say that would be his best birthday present. Now, from our point of view, we understand how important that is. And we understand, yeah, that would be a great birthday present if they're ready. But if they're not ready, and you know, he knows his family. He's going to know. And so he really, really needs to do it gently, lovingly. And that's why E is really the best answer here. He's saying, I love you. I appreciate what you've done for me. I want to do it. Can we just do it at another time? You know I have this standing commitment. And God is important to me. You're important to me, but I've made this commitment to God, and I need to follow through.
So you said E is the best one.
E is the best answer here, yes. Okay, any questions anybody has? Yes?
Also on E, what I felt that he's the example. He's showing the example. He's saying, I love you so much for rescheduling the birthday party for me. But I need to remind you, I have a standing commitment, and that example might draw them with love back to him eventually to go to church.
Each step that we take of kindness toward our family and treating them with respect, but standing firm on our commitment, the combination is going to be a witness to them and a testimony. And what do? We continue to, oh yeah, pray. You know, that's not a last resort. We're always praying for the family. Here at ABC, you go through ABC schools and you learn, prayers for the family. Okay? So we want to continue to pray prayers for our family, walk in love toward them, but stay true to God first and foremost. Because ultimately, what we do for God, if we do it in love and respect of them, and we take it one step at a time, and we're not pushy, we're not trying to force them, then we will draw all men unto Jesus Christ through the love that we show, through our commitment. And because we're faithful to God, then God will be able to exhibit himself through us. Right?
Amen.
Okay, so these were a couple of real-life situations, and we got to think about how we can walk in faith. And we're going to be doing this again in the future with different scenarios. And each one, hopefully, will give us a real feeling for where we're going. Yes? Mm-hmm. He's made it very clear to them. The question was, what if the family is staunchly against rescheduling the date? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, Uncle Joe's coming in from yada yada, you know, and this one's coming in from there. And you have no idea how hard it was for us to get everybody together on that day. It's the only day we could get everybody together. But then, really, they're not getting everybody together because John is part of the everybody, and he's not available. And he's made that clear, and he's done it in a loving way. So if they choose not to reschedule, I think most families would. If they don't, then he needs a lot of prayer. A lot more prayer on that situation. But to walk by faith, that's what we want to do. We need to trust God. We need to use that spiritual eye to guide our physical lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.